This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin, I know you mentioned, earlier, can't control Twitter, can't control the media, but looking over the past week, do you wish you approached anything differently?
Not at all.
That was Kevin Willard, part of his post-game presser last night, which was dominated by questions about his future. All right, so let's get to it. I want to play a bunch of the sound. Let me just mention this before we get to it, Denton. I had a really good friend of mine who's not a Maryland guy, but, you know, follows sports in the market in a meaningful way, say to me this morning, this has been the most interesting non-game story to follow since the Snyder sale of the team. And, you know, he went on to say, I mean, you've got a team that's in the Sweet 16, a team that's got a chance to potentially win a national championship. Probably not as good a chance as we thought after watching Florida last night. And he's got one foot out the door, but he's, you know, kind of throwing the administration and the athletic department under the bus while he's doing it. Is he staying? Is he going? I think I said this on the show yesterday. I don't think I have had more conversations, real conversations or text conversations, with people about this in a concentrated period of time, like nowhere near the volume of conversations since the days of the Snyder selling the team drama. It was a drama that was a national drama. All the pregame shows last night. I was watching Jay Wright intently because I was hoping that he would be asked as they previewed Maryland, Florida on TBS last night before the game. And, you know, he said, look, I am an advisor to the president of our university at Villanova. And so I hope, you know, I don't want to get myself in trouble there. And yet I've got this job. But let me just tell you, he said, this is an ongoing process. There are other people that are in play. This is an ongoing process and nothing is a done deal yet. I tweeted that out and I said, take it for what it's worth, because do you really think Jay Wright's going to say, oh, yeah, we got him locked up? Can't say that. So I wanted to see how he handled that answer. And look, let's play some sound here. Kevin was asked about this over and over again last night. Let's start with he was asked about his future.
Having coached this group, and the follow-up would be, are you, what is your future in terms of returning to College Park? Have you made a decision whether or not you'll be back?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed coaching this basketball team. They from the time they stepped on campus in June, they've just been so much fun to coach and to kind of see them kind of grow together, have the wins we had on the road, you know, have some of the toughest losses that I've ever dealt with, buzzer beaters, and to overcome that was huge for me. It was one of those things. It was just a whole lot of fun. The staff said it the other day. It was just kind of, there's so much fun to be around. And they accomplished a lot. You know, it's in today's world of trying to put together a roster in, you know, 3 weeks, these guys all made great strides. And again, the only two guys I ever played in an NCAA tournament before was Julian and Jordan. So for those guys to, you know, be great leaders and for us to get to the Sweet 16, I think it shows you how good a group of kids they were.
Okay, there was another part to that where he answered the question. Is that number two?
Yes.
Denton, yeah, because he didn't do what he did in the presser. That made it sound like he did what he did in the presser the day before, where he just talked about one thing and completely deflected and didn't answer. He actually went on and answered the second part of the question. Here's that.
So I have not even... No, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done. So I haven't talked to anybody. I have an agent. I'm sure he's talking to people because that's what agents like to do. But, you know, I don't know.
So, you know, look, I would imagine that he knows something more than not knowing anything. Do I think that he was dialed in on Florida and that coaching this team into the Sweet 16 and being out west and managing, you know, a bunch of players, et cetera, was a big part of his focus? Sure. Do I also think it's very possible that it's like his agent is handling all of it and his agent knows exactly what's going on? Of course. But whether he talked to somebody or not, it doesn't matter. The agent very likely has been handling those conversations. This was him answering, is there anything Maryland can do?
This follow-up to that, is there something at this juncture you think Maryland can do to bring you back?
Right now, my biggest concerns in life right now, you know, I don't know who my boss is going to be. It's the guy that brought me here, who I really liked and appreciative of him bringing me to College Park, is not here anymore. And I don't know who we're going to hire. And that's, as in today's day and age, that worries me a little bit, I'm just being honest. My honesty got me in trouble. Might as well keep getting me in trouble. So this is going to be a family decision. I love College Park. I love Maryland. You know, but there's, when you're at this point in your career and you're looking at things, I have to take everything into consideration about what's going moving forward. But I have not even talked to anybody, so I don't know what I'm doing.
All right. As of yesterday afternoon, before the game, I did talk to a few people that still felt like that there was a chance that Kevin had that Willard could come back. I mean, my strong hunch and lean is that he's leaving for Villanova, and that we will get that announcement at some point, you know, in the next 24, 48, 72 hours. But is it impossible that he's brought back? No. Look, you know, you can't get wrapped up into Maryland fan reaction on Twitter, and especially some of those who kind of purport to be reporters and have lots of information. Anybody that's been following this story, anybody that's been talking to people, know that literally the stories have changed within a few hours with the same people. over the last week. It's been a really strange situation. And again, what I would tell you is that in talking to people even before the game yesterday, I think there are people certainly at Maryland that are still hopeful that they can figure it out. And as I said to you 2 days ago, I learned this on Wednesday, and I still feel very solid in this, that Maryland has ponied up. They've gotten to where they have provided him with assurances that in addition to increased compensation, there's also increased rev share numbers to spend on players, and a lot of other things that he wants. The one thing that they can't tell him, which you heard him refer to there last night, is they can't tell him who his boss is going to be. But I would bet you that this go-around of an AD search, there's going to be an emphasis on finding an athletic director that is more basketball-friendly, maybe is the best way to put it, than recent athletic directors. I do think for a lot of people, his comments about Damon Evans last night were a bit surprising and thought to be a bit hyperbolic from his standpoint. But it's, like I mentioned the other day, it's not just him, it's the entire department and the entire university and how it's been more football-focused than basketball-focused. He's not the first coach to complain about that. The last coach did, and the coach before him, a Hall of Famer, had some of those same issues. But I said yesterday that two things can be true simultaneously. One is he has the right to do whatever he wants. He's got the right to do whatever he wants, including what's best for him and his family. You know, sometimes it's more than just what he said, you know, last Thursday or what he has said since. Sometimes there are real personal issues involved in something like this. And, you know, at the same time, it isn't necessary for him to have implied and even said, as he did to me, that if he gets what he thinks Maryland needs to get for its head coach to compete at the highest levels of the sport, he'll be back. He certainly didn't need to go to that extent unless it ends up being true and he does come back and he got everything he wanted. So I still want Kevin Willard back as the coach of Maryland. I think he's a good coach. I think his reasons for being frustrated are, according to everybody, for not just the last week, but the last several years, that they are legitimate frustrations. And even though I don't think he should have implied, as I just said, or even directly stated to me, as he did on Tuesday, that if he gets everything he wants, he'll be back, I still want him back. And I understand, too, and we talked about this yesterday, there's no way to leave this time of year as a coach. It's messy everywhere when this happens. Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley, you know, guys like that come to mind. In basketball, it's happened many times. You know, this is the wild, wild west in college sports right now. And players are bouncing and coaches are bouncing, but coaches leave all the time. That's why they have out clauses in their contract. You know, but again, the level of drama surrounding this one was initiated by him in the press conference last week. That created the S-storm of the last 7 to 8 days now. We're now at 8 days since last Thursday. But again, if he had just answered all the way, because he didn't bring it up himself, he was asked about the Villanova rumors a week ago yesterday. If he had just said, yeah, I'm not going to answer that. I'm focused on Grand Canyon. I'm really excited to get a chance to go to the Sweet 16 in a tough game, tough matchup against Colorado State. We are dialed in now that we're in the Sweet 16 on trying to go further against a really good Florida team. If he had just answered it that way and said, I'm not commenting on it, it would have been better for him in terms of the way people that are really paying attention, including people in his industry, I would imagine, felt about the way he handled it. But trust me, if he had handled it the way I just described, it's not like he wouldn't have been eviscerated had he left by the fan base, by fans. When coaches leave, they get annihilated, no matter how they go out. The irony, of course, about the Maryland situation and the Kevin Willard situation specifically is that the Maryland social media fan base, anyway, they wanted him gone 2 months ago. Can't win on the road. Can't win a close game. We made a major mistake hiring him. We sucked last year. We're not going to be any good this year. I mean, in January, they were killing him. They went on the road and they lost to Washington and Oregon in back-to-back games to start the conference schedule, or to continue the conference schedule right after the first of the year. The fans of this program, many of whom don't even show up for games, were killing him. Killing him. We got to make a change. I mean, lists were being created. Yeah, but he does have a 7-year contract. That could be problematic. I remember, Denton, at one point we talked about this when they were struggling early in January, and I said, yeah, that ain't happening. He's got another 4 years left. This school's not buying him out to bring in somebody else. That was the conversation in January. And then a couple of months later, oh my God, Villanova's interested? We can't lose him. It would be devastating to the program if we lose him. I mean, it's incredibly reactive and reactionary. Because I'll tell you this, even though I do think it will be a short-term blow, you know, as in next year, kind of punting on next year, unless some kind of miracle can be pulled out. You know, maybe you keep one of the assistants. Cox is one of the assistants who's got a great relationship with some of the players, including Gillespie and Rice, who, if you're going to have a competitive team next year, you got to bring those guys back. Got to see them back in a Maryland uniform. Maybe there's a way for that to work. I would guess that there's a chance both of those guys could be at Nova next year as Nova's starting backcourt if Willard actually leaves. But the idea that it's so damaging that you can't recover is a lack of recognition of what college basketball, college sports in general are right now, especially basketball. Because basketball, all it takes is a couple of players to totally be a different team in a season because you hit it big in the portal. I mean, this is annual unrestricted free agency as it currently exists. You can turn it around quickly. Maryland had a losing record last year. I think it's only the second time in 30 years that they had a losing record during a season, and they won 27 games and went to the Sweet 16 this year. Yes, a freshman recruit was a big part of it, no doubt, no doubt. But they don't go anywhere near where they went if they don't hit it big with three huge starters in the portal in Rice, Gillespie, and Selton Miguel. And so the idea that, you know, it's over, you can't recover. Short-term pain, no doubt. Long-term, depends on who you hire. And that's where I'll finish up, because I think that if he does leave, there's a chance that the way he left ultimately will benefit the basketball program. And I'll explain when we come back. We'll open up phone lines as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You can weigh in on the game. You can weigh in on Kevin Willard. But I think if he does leave, there's a chance the basketball program could long-term be in a better place. I'll explain next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Tough one for the Terps last night in the Sweet 16. They lose to the Florida Gators 87-71. Derek Queen had 27 for Maryland, but their season comes to a close. Now all eyes on Kevin Willard and his future. Will he stay or will he go? Elsewhere in the nation's capital, the Nationals lose to the Phillies in 10 innings on opening day. Kiebert Ruiz hit a solo homer in the fifth inning, first points of the season for the Nationals. Bryce Harper hit a solo shot in the seventh for the Phillies. Mackenzie Gore was damn near flawless Six innings, struck out 13 on 93 pitches, a sensational performance for the guy that's going to be the ace for this Nationals team for years to come. Elsewhere in the NCAA tournament, Duke beat Arizona 193. Future Wizard Cooper Flagg had 36-7. Alabama dominated BYU 113-88. Bama shot an insane 49% from three-point range, 25 of 51. Those 25 makes set a record for the most threes in the NCAA tournament. Mark Sears had 34, and Texas Tech snuck by Arkansas 85-83 in overtime. Lady Terps in action tonight against South Carolina. They tip at 5. Wizards, eesh, their defense did not check into the game last night. 162-109 against the Pacers, and they did not have 162. An embarrassing defensive performance. But Alex Saar had 22. Caps lost to the Wild 4-2. And that's what's trending.